أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأمريته ابتداء ولا لأمريته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمة العقول والذي لا تغاري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
محمد. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا. Oh our Lord, don't incline our hearts, don't tilt our hearts towards batil and falsehood. After you have provided the hidayat and guidance towards the haq, this is the dua that we keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and innaka antal wahhab, certainly you are oft giver. We are discussing in these nights the ingredients of our success, and we already talked about four of those important points in the previous nights, and tonight is the turn for ikhlas and sincerity. Ikhlas is defined by our scholars of akhlaq as the removal of creatures from your mind. If we can remove all the thoughts and the niyat becomes purified from any creature and anything else other than Allah, and the niyat is entirely and completely for the sake of nothing and no one other than Allah, then it is called ikhlas and sincerity. So much that our scholars of akhlaq say that even if a person has an intention that I am doing these prayers, fastings, homes, zakat, sadaqah, hajj, ziyarat, anything that you can imagine, all those worships of Allah, whether wajib or mustahab, if a person has the intention that I am doing all these things so that I can become mukhlis and sincere towards Allah, this is not called sincerity. Because he still has in his niyyat so that I can become mukhlis and sincere. So the I and the ego still exists. The real ikhlas and the science of Islamic morality is when there is no remains of I at all in the niyyat and intention. And there is no remain of anything other than Allah in the intention. Entirely for the sake of His pleasure. So even if somebody makes a niyyat so that I can become mukhlis, that means he still is considering himself there in the middle. This is not acceptable in the eyes of the scholars of Akhlaq. So they asked us to make us, we need to make ourselves mukhlis even from the niyat of ikhlas. Make ourselves purified even from the niyat of me becoming mukhlis. So ikhlas is defined as complete removal of anyone and anything other than Allah from the intention. So when we have this idea and this definition in our minds, then it will be easy to understand what the Prophet has said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in his hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, al-ikhlasu sirrum min sirri. Ikhlas is a secret from my secret. And Allah provides this secret to fi qalbi man ahbabtuhu. That means I give this secret into the heart of the one whom I love. So only the mahbub and beloved servants of Allah can end up becoming mukhlis and sincere. So what we need, brothers and sisters, as we are talking about the concept of ikhlas and sincerity towards Allah completely in the fullest sense of the word, is that we make ourselves purified from all creatures and keep Allah in our minds alone. And if this kind of ikhlas is there for 40 mornings, let's go back to the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech, which is a very famous one, where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, Prophet has said that man akhlasa lillahi arba'ina sabahan, whoever has ikhlas towards Allah for 40 mornings, jarat yanabi'ul hikmah, the fountains of wisdom come out from min qalbihi, from his soul, the fountains of wisdom outburst from his soul and flow over his tongue. So anybody, this is a blank check from the Prophet, that any person who can have sincerity towards Allah, ikhlas towards Allah for 40 mornings. So here the Prophet is not talking about, you know, 5 months or 6 months or 10 months or a year and so. He's just mentioning 40 mornings. And there's a lot of wisdom, our scholars say, in the number of 40 in Islam. So many things in the religion of Islam are done for 40. The number 40 has a wisdom. Isn't it right?
Yes.
There is a list of things. Ayatullah Ummah, Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Baharul Ulum, has mentioned approximately in his book, it is mentioned approximately 26 valid reasons. Why in Islam? Because of those 26 reasons, we do so many things for 40 times, for 40 days. Why 40 is so significant? 26 reasons have been mentioned. Obviously, that's not my subject to talk about all those. But what I'm trying to say here is that our scholars of morality say anything that you can do for 40 days straight in your life becomes part of your soul. Anything that you can do for 40 days in your life without a gap is now an inseparable component of your spirituality. And when something becomes an inseparable component of your spirituality, it will accompany you forever, up till the last breath of your life. That's what we are discussing. The ingredients of sa'adat, awamil sa'ada, ingredients of spiritual success of a person. So we want to die as mukhlis, so that this, when we do something for 40 days, it becomes part of our soul. It will be there till the end of our life. It will be with us in our souls, in our graves, in the alam al-barzakh, as we are laying in the graves, waiting for the day of judgment to arrive. And it will accompany our souls as we are resurrected on the day of judgment. Because we succeeded to practice that teaching of Islam for 40 days straight. So, anything that we can do for 40 days, you read Ziyarat of Ashura. If you claim that, well, I always usually read the Ziyarat of Ashura, it's very good. One of the very, very important values of Islam, that we remember and we say salam and we do the zikr and remembrance of Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam Hussein al-Islam, who is the most beloved person of the heavens and the earth. Is that right? The Prophet has said in his authentic hadith that أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ لَهَذَا الْأَمُورِ الْوَعِيَةِ مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ أَحَبِّ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ فَلْيَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ الْحُسَيْنِ. Whoever loves to have a look at the most beloved person in the eyes of the dwellers of the heaven and in the eyes of the dwellers of the earth should look towards Hussein. So remembering Imam Hussein is extremely important in Islam. It's our value. If you want to claim that, well, I always read Ziyarat of Ashura, this claim of yours can only be accepted and certified if you manage to recite the Ziyarat of Ashura for 40 days without a gap. Then and only then the noor of the Ziyarat of Ashura will be considered to be part of your soul. If you claim that I always tell the truth, I never lie, I am a sadiq person, truth teller, this claim of yours can be accepted if you always tell the truth for 40 days without a gap. And in those 40 days you never ever ever said the slightest of the lies. Then in terms of the science of Islamic morality, it would be accepted as a statement that now the nur and divine light of sidq, telling the truth, is part of your soul because you managed to do it for 40 days. So anything and everything in your life. These are just a few examples so that you get the concept and the clear words. Anything that we can do for 40 days becomes part of our soul. So ikhlas means removal of the creatures. Just take all the creatures out of your intention. Just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that Allah knew there were humans who were able to reach that high level and that high proximity and closeness and taqarrub towards Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see, we find that Allah, when He announced about the creation of Prophet Adam, His Khalifa on the earth, and the angels objected on God. أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Are you making someone on earth who is going to spread mischief, who is going to do mischief on earth, fasad, and يَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ, going to shed the blood, whereas we, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ, we glorify your praise, وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, and do your taqdees. So we do the taqdees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hold the sanctity of Allah, whereas this human that you are talking, the humans are going to shed blood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the angels to understand. Angels, our scholars say in the tafsir, were looking towards the zahir of the apparent situation when they witnessed the creation of Adam. They were just looking towards the zahir, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was looking towards the batin and the reality. So Allah wanted that their reality of the reality of the element of the human becomes clear, and the reality of their sajda also becomes clear. Wow. What is the status of their sajda, and what is the status of Adam alayhi salam? Those things become clear upon them. So usjudu li Adama. Allah gives the command that bow down, do the sajda towards Adam. Fasajdu. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. All the angels did the sajda except Iblis. Iblis was, to begin with, he was never one of the angels. It's a misconception in the minds of some who include Iblis among the angels. Iblis was part of the jinns. He was a jinn, he was not an angel. So, he was مُعَلِّمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. That's true. He used to teach the angels of Allah. Isn't it right? The Prophet, when he went on Mi'raj and ascension, he found that there was a mimbar, a pulpit, which was burnt down. And Prophet was informed that this pulpit and mimbar belongs to Shaytan, Iblis. Shaytan used to sit on this mimbar and deliver lectures for the angels of God. So that's why the scholar says Shaitan was not an ignorant person, he was alim, he was a knowledgeable person. Who can teach the angels? Can an ignorant person teach the angels? Shaitan was a very knowledgeable person. But all his knowledge and all of his ibadat that he did for 6,000 years of worship went down the drain because of one sin that he committed, which was intolerable in the dictionary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that sin is takabbur. And also hasad, arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept arrogance. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the reality of the sajda appear, and that's why when Shaitan did not do the sajda, the reality of his sajda appeared on the angels. Now, obviously, when this situation arises and Shaitan was thrown out, that's where, obviously, Shaitan started to complain towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, I disobeyed one thing. I didn't do one of your commands, that doing the sajda towards Adam. And Adam also didn't do one thing because he also ate from the fruit of the tree. So he also disobeyed and I also disobeyed. Whereas you did not throw Adam out of your closeness, whereas you threw me out and you made me Rajin. Rajin is somebody who is thrown out of the divine domain. So Shaitan became Malhoon and cursed forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Shaitan is missing when he is making this claim. First of all, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam did not commit the sin. What Hazrat Adam did, it's not a sin because it was not alamul tashri'. That was not the word of the legislature and the sharia. The do's and do-nots did not start yet. The word of sharia did not start yet. What Adam did when the ayat of Quran says, فَأَسَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَضَوَّهُ. When Adam, أَسَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ, Adam did isyan and ma'asiyat towards his Lord. This ma'asiyat, the Rasulullah said in tafsir, is not a sin. This is tarkul awla, something which was better to be avoided, but he did not avoid. And so he could have gotten more sawab if he obeyed, but it's not a sin because the world of sharia did not start yet. The world of the divine legislature, do's and do-not, did not start yet. So we find that our scholars say in the tafsir, the difference between Shaitan's disobedience and the behavior of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam returns back to ikhlas. Because Hazrat Adam alayhi salam had ikhlas and sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas Shaitan and Iblis had nifaq and hypocrisy towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was hiding his nifaq. In the real sense, he did not have obedience towards Allah and submission to God and His commands. He was hiding the lack of submission and portraying himself to be an obedient person in front of Allah and in front of angels. And Allah already knew that he was a hypocrite and munafiq. And through the sajda towards Adam, it became clear on the angels. It was already clear on Allah, but it became clear on the angels that Adam alayhi salam was mukhlis and Iblis was munafiq. So we find that this sajda, which is mentioned about towards Adam, was actually not for the sake of Hazrat Adam. We don't do sajda or ruku. Isn't it right? Sajda and ruku in Islam are those worships which are mukhtas, specific and exclusively for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot bend up till the magnitude of ruku in front of any human being. That's not allowed in the Sharia. We don't bend in front of any human being up till this much magnitude, which can be called as bending like a ruku. That's not allowed. So ruku and likewise the sajda is not allowed for any human being. Whereas we find the angels were doing sajda towards Prophet Adam. So that's what exactly the scholars say. It was towards Prophet Adam, but not for Prophet Adam. There's a fine line, just like the brothers of Hazrat Yusuf, when they finally realize their mistake, and they realize that this is their own brother Prophet Yusuf who's ruling over Egypt, and how merciful he is towards them, despite of their crimes towards Prophet Yusuf and them dumping Prophet Yusuf in the well. But still, if their brother Yusuf is so sincere towards them, finally, we learned that they fell down in sajda towards Prophet Yusuf. That sajda was also what we call ta'zimiyya, sajda for the sake of ta'zim and respect. And the sajda of the angels was also what the hadith of Imam Salih alayhi salam says, كَانَ لِلَّهِ عُبُودِيَّةً وَتَعْظِيمًا وَإِكْرَامًا لَنَا. That sajda was ubudiyat and worship of Allah, and ta'zeem and ikram and respect of us. Because the nur of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt was part of the sun and lineage of Prophet Adam alayhi salam. He says salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So this is the respect that Allah is showing. Allah is commanding the angels to show their respect. Not just the ubudiyat and worship of Allah, which is obviously there and displayed in the sajda, you know. But in addition to the ubudiyat, the hadith of Imam Sadiq Islam tells us that this is a respect and ta'zeem, the greatness of the Prophet, of the nur of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. It is found in the lineage of Prophet of Islam. Allah is showing the respect towards the nur of this Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. How beloved the Prophet is. أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِي. First thing that Allah created was my light. Here the first creation, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ. Some of the hadith say the first thing Allah created was the pen, the divine pen.
Another hadith says, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَقْلُ. The first thing that Allah created was the intellect. And our scholars say these ahadiths are not contradictory towards each other, because the same nur of the Holy Prophet is actually the reality and haqiqat of qalam and the pen, the divine pen. And the same nur of the Holy Prophet is the haqiqat of the intellect, because Prophet is al-aqlul awwal, wal-qalamul awwal, wal-nurul awwal, wal-sadirul awwal. The first pen and the first nur and the first product of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the first thing that Allah created.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all His prophets of God are beloved servants of Allah. They are awliya Allah and mahbub servants, and they are always away from the dhulm. And if we humans want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be away from every kind of zulm. And zulm is obviously classified as, you know, the Quran says, وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever violates the hudud of Allah has did zulm over his own nafs.
So we need to take care of the amr bil ma'roof and nahy al munkar. The ma'roof and munkar, the good and the bad deeds that Allah mentioned. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the zalimeen. In Allah la yuhibbu zalimeen. Allah does not love the zalimeen. And also Allah says, Ala la'natullahi ala zalimeen. The la'nat of Allah is also on the zalimeen. So we find it's also zulm in Islam to go to the kafir court system. Isn't it right? Because Quran says, also talking about zulm, that وَمَنْ لَمْ يُرِدُونَ أَنْ يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. It is also haram in Islam to pass a judgment which is against the rulings of Quran. Because Quran says that وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whoever does not give a hukum and judgment according to what Allah has sent down, they are the ones who are violent. If somebody comes to you, two people are conflicting with each other, and they come to you, okay brother, can you please pass on the judgment and decide among ourselves? If you pass any judgment against the rules and values of Quran, you are part of the zalimeen. One judgment may entitle us to be called a zalim. So it has to be, it's a very important thing, that how do we pass judgments among the people? You know, so we find there were two people who were conflicting about, few dirhams. You know, they divided some dirhams, and there was a dispute taking place about one remaining dirham. And one person was coming from the other side, and these two people said to him, can you please let us know how can we settle the dispute among ourselves? And he said, oh, it's not a big deal, you're disputing about one dirham, why you just divide it half-half? Give half to him and half to them. This is also zulm. That we make a judgment which is unfair, un-Islamic, un-Quranic, that's also zulm. And he says that basically when this guy died, our scholars have narrated, when he saw the dream, when he, after passing the judgment, when he saw the dream that he was passing by the bridge of Sirat, which is sharper than the edge of a sword, thinner than the hair of a human, and darker than the night. Such a unique bridge, passing over the bridge, that's where the compensations will be done and the revenges will take place. Anybody who did so to anyone. So we are talking about ikhlas and cleaning ourselves from all sorts of things which Quran calls as zulm. But how can we become mukhlis? By cleansing ourselves from every type of zulm which is mentioned in Quran. That's how we become mukhlis. And we are talking about ikhlas tonight as one of those ingredients of success. So cleaning ourselves from the zulm. And now everybody is passing over the bridge. He saw the dream that he's passing over the bridge of Sirat. And that person towards whom he did the zulm, he stretched his one finger towards him, and that finger of fire took a piece of flesh away from him. That's the zulm that he did towards that person. That's where, you know, the revenges are going to take place. As for the flame of fire itself is also going to take revenge from people who did zulm on others. No one can run away from the bridge of Sirat. So, when we do the wudu, that's what we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, pouring water on our right hand. When we pour water on our right hand and we read the dua, which is mustahab, that Allahumma a'tini kitabi bi yamini. Oh my God, give me the book of deeds in the right hand. Isn't it right? And eternity for me in the paradise. Make it easy for me to have eternity in the paradise. And hold me accountable in an easy way. That's what we say when we pour the water on the right hand while doing the wudu. That's mustahab to read that dua, all those duas for each of those actions. And when you pour water in the left hand, we say, Allahumma la tu'tini kitabi bi shimali. Oh my Lord, don't hand over my book of deeds into my left. Wala min wara'i dhahri. Nor do you give the book of deeds from the behind my back.
That's the second option for the criminals. Their book of deeds will be handed over behind their backs.
وَلَا تَجْعَلْهَا مَغْلُولَةً
إِلَىٰ عُنُقِي. And don't let the book of deeds be hanging in my neck.
There's the third option for the criminals.
Their book of deeds will be either hanging in their necks, given from behind their backs, or handed over into their left hands. And then we say finally, وَجَنِّبْنِي مِن مُقَطِعَاتِ النِّيرَانِ. And keep me protected from the flames of the fire that cut the body into pieces, pieces. مُقَطِعَاتِ النِّيرَانِ.
So that's what we are talking about, keeping away. Say, in the time of Yahya
al-Barmaki, we find it was a very zalim ruler. We find this says salawat. In the time of Yahya al-Barmaki, we find there was a person in his time who used to make pens. In old days, they used to cut from the trees, from the wood of the trees, they used to make wooden pens. So he discovered there's somebody in his empire who makes very nice wooden pens. So this person was called into the darbar, into the palace, and asked to make some pens, 3 pens for the ruler. He made very nice pens, handed over to the ruler. And after handing over to Yahya al-Barmaki, he was the ruler. He was turning out, getting out of the palace door.
As he was about to exit, he turned around, came back straight to the ruler, and grabbed those pens from his hands, and break all those pens in front of him. He said, "What happened? Why did you do that?" He said, "When I was exiting the door of your palace, as if somebody recited this ayat of Quran, and that came to my mind when Quran says in Surah As-Saffat, 'Ushshuru alladhina zalamu wa aswatahum wa ma kanu ya'budun.' Gather those people who did the zulm, wa aswatahum, and their counterparts, wa ma kanu ya'budun, and what they used to worship." So Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is going to gather the zalimeen and all their supporters together, and they will be sent to the hell together. So as if somebody recited that ayat of Quran, it came to my mind, and it came to my mind, and if I give these pens to you, and you write down any statement based on zulm against the values of Quran, and anything haram is committed because of your writing with this pen, then tomorrow, the day of judgment, I will also be resurrected alongside with you and go to the hell along with you because of my pens." Please say salawat. So the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have set the highest examples of ikhlas and sincerity, keeping away from zulm. You remember the story in the time of Harun al-Rashid. In the time of Harun al-Rashid, we find that Imam Salih al-Islam was invited. Mansur al-Tirmidhi, I'm sorry. In the time of Mansur al-Tirmidhi, Imam Salih al-Islam was invited. And Mansur al-Tirmidhi had gathered 70 magicians
from the city of Babel in Iraq. Babel had a history. 70 magicians were gathered by Mansur al-Tirmidhi in his palace
for the sake of insulting Imam Sadiq alayhi salam.
And they took their positions, they were all sitting there, and they asked the pictures of animals to be made and put next to them. Various animals, various wild animals in their pictures were made. And each of those 70 magicians are sitting in the palace now, and pictures of different wild animals placed next to them. When Imam Salih alayhi salam appears in the court of Mansur al-Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayh, he had a look at the situation, and he said that, "Don't you know who I am? I'm that Hujjat who invalidated the magic of your ancestors in the time of Prophet Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa salam."
All those magicians, remember, were brought by Pharaoh, to insult Prophet Musa and to down Prophet Musa. I am that Hujjat who invalidated the magic of your ancestors. And then Musa commanded all those pictures of animals which were there next to them to grab each of those magicians which are sitting next to those pictures. And all those animals, by the miracle of Imam Salih al-Islam, became alive and captured those magicians and cooked them.
Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
When Mazlum Dawaniki saw this situation, obviously it was an absolute shock. But this was a constant tradition, brothers and sisters. Constant tradition you find in the history of Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas. To insult the Imam, to forcibly bring him into the palace. Imam would never show up into the palace of the Ghanim. It's not even allowed in Islam to go into the Darbar of Ali Ta'ud. He don't go to the Kafir court system at all. We have an old Islamic procedure of resolving our disputes if we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? This is considered to be kufr. Going to the Kafir court system is considered to be kufr itself in Islam. We don't go to the Kafir court system for filing complaints against our fellow women, brothers or sisters. We have our own Islamic procedure. We go to the Mushtahid, Al-Jari al-Shara'id, who fulfills the conditions in time of labor. We go to the Mushtahid or his Wakeel. That's the Islamic procedure. So, you know, just like Imam Salih al-Islam, in his time, a person came that we are living far away from you and we don't have access to you. What if there is a conflict arising between two mu'mineen in our community, the two mu'mins in our community? What are we supposed to do? Imam Salih al-Islam says that find out which one among you knows the ahkam, you know, halal and haram, and basically has the knowledge and ma'rifat, understands, in other words, understands the religion. فَإِنِّي قَدْ جَعَلْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاكِمًا. Another narration says, فَإِنِّي قَدْ جَعَلْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ قَاضِيًا. I have certainly made him a qadi, a judge upon you. So, the scholar has been made the judge by Imam Salih alayhi salam. That kind of scholar has been made a judge by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. فَإِذَا حَكَمَ بِحُكْمِنَا فَلَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّمَا اسْتُخِفَّ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَيْنَا الرُّدَّةِ. When he passes a judgment, but it is not accepted, actually the hukum of Ahlul Bayt is rejected. Peace and salawat. So we find that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have been setting the highest examples of a class. When the battle of Ahzab takes place, we also get it called the battle of Khandaq, the trench, and also the other name is, Ma'rakatul Ahzab, the battle of Ahzab. Ahzab in Arabic means the parties, because all the various parties of kufr, disbelievers, join their hands together, singling out the Prophet and the Muslims. So we call it battle of the Khandaq. Khandaq means the trench, and battle of Ahzab also. So all the parties of kufr on one side, and our beloved Prophet is on the other side. Salman Farsi is the one who gives advice to make a trench, because he said that's how they used to do in our Iran. So he gave this bit of advice to the Prophet that, Prophet sometimes used to take advices, although he does not need to take advices. This is, our scholars say that this is a way of teaching us, the ignorant people, that we need to take advices in our behaviors and never ever consider ourselves to be above and beyond the need of getting the advices. No matter how high we can reach, we can never be like the Prophet. Isn't it right? Prophet has the absolute knowledge of man and the unseeable realities, but he's still seeking advice in some of the times, despite the fact he doesn't need it. That's how he's teaching us to seek advice and never think of ourselves to be knowledgeable enough that we don't need it. So finally, all the soldiers of Kufar are standing on that one side and Prophet with his ashab and companions. And this guy, Amr ibn Abdul Wud, One of the commanders of the army of the enemy comes forward, crosses over the trench through his horse, and now he starts to insult the Holy Prophet and Islam openly, challenging the Prophet. See, in Islam, we find that not responding, not ready to defend the Prophet is itself a crime in Islam. Running away from the battlefield of Haq against Batil is also a bigger sin in Islam. Anybody who runs away from the battlefield is not considered to be a believer. This is itself a fisk. It's against the Iman. Anybody who runs away from the battlefield and avoids to defend the Prophet is not considered to be an ardent person. Instead, he's a fasid person. So Prophet is asking his ashab, who can take care of this kalb? And everybody is silent. There's a complete silence in the crowd of companions, lowering their heads. كَأَنَّ عَلَى رُوسِهِمُ الطَّيْرُ. Then their history says that if there are birds sitting on their heads, so if they move their heads up, as if there are birds sitting and the birds will fly away. So his companions are so silent. And only Imam Ali al-Salam comes forward and expresses his willingness to take care of this evil guy. So we find when Imam Ali al-Salam goes there, and the Prophet gives his historic remark about Imam Ali al-Salam, that our kids must keep in their minds when we talk about Imam Ali al-Salam and his highness, this is not emotional. There is no room for emotional behavior in Islam. Imam Ali al-Salam deserves the highest credit because he has earned the highness and azmat because of his actions. That is, the entire Iman is going to embrace, to face the entire shirk. This is the status of Imam Ali al-Islam. That's why we call him Kullul Iman. He is the entire Iman. Everything of Iman is with him. He is the most perfect in his saint, and that's why he is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is the leader of all the believers. So we find that Imam Ali al-Islam, when he was fighting with Amr ibn Abd al-Butt, that evil person, and he insulted Imam Ali al-Islam as well, and used abusive words for his mom, and spat on the face of Imam Ali al-Islam. Obviously, everybody's going to feel bad if you are talking to somebody and somebody used abusive language for your mother. It's natural to feel bad. And somebody spits on your face, it's natural to feel bad. And the history says, as we are discussing the concept of ikhlas and sincerity towards Allah, the Imam Islam walks away. He was about to kill him, but he walks away from his enemy. And after a short while, he turns back to the enemy and kills him after that short period. And when somebody asks Imam Ali al-Islam the reason why he turned away initially and then returned back to kill the enemy, he said because he did not want his personal ego to be part of the action of killing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because obviously when somebody uses abusive language against your mother, your ego is there. You may think that now let me kill this person because he said bad towards my mother. So because somebody said bad towards Imam Ali's mother, he doesn't want that intention to come inside his pure intention for the sake of Allah only. This is the ikhlas and peak of ikhlas that we find in the behavior of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So he's in the Aliyan Mansusun fi Zatillah. He's basically, he's in a situation which is as if somebody is drowned, is fana fillah. So he's so much into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so much attached to him. So this is why we find when one of the battles, and Muhammad Islam was struck with an arrow into his feet, and Ashab, some of the companions came to pull the arrow out of the feet of Imam Ali Islam, and obviously it was very, very painful for him. And Prophet gave the solution. Prophet said, when Ali is praying, pull the arrow at that time. That's the solution that was provided by the Prophet, in other words. And the same thing was done by the companions. When Ali started to pray after a short while, they came forward, and one of the Ashab, and he pulled the arrow from the feet of Imam Ali Islam, and he did not feel. He did not feel because his niyat and intention and his attention was entirely and completely directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salawat. So this is the ikhlas, an example. We find in the history that in the tafsir, inna fi dhalika la dhikra liman kana lahu qalb. And under this ayat of Quran, it is mentioned in the history that once somebody gifted two camels to the Holy Prophet. And Prophet announced that, obviously Prophet was that kind of person who never used to keep the mali dunya, the belongings of this dunya with him. Isn't that right? لَمْ يَقْعَ عِنْدَهُ دِرْهَمٌ وَلَا دِنَارٌ. The history says, no dirham or dinar, no silver or gold coin ever remained in his hands. وَإِنْ بَقِيَ وَإِنْ فَضَلَ لَمْ يَأْخُوَ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ. And if any money remained in Prophet's hand, he never used to go back to his home. That means, before going back to his home, he used to give away the money to the poor and deserving people and then go back to his home. That's how the Prophet was. Zero attachment with any amount of money more than his necessity. Zero attachment. Even he was not attached to the money which is of his necessity. They are ready to give away their own necessities to others. So we find that two of the camels, very nice and healthy camels, were donated by somebody to the Prophet. And Prophet announced that which one among you is ready to, it can pray two rakats of prayers, do the wudu and do the two rakats of prayers, and with complete ikhlas, in other words. That he does not think of anyone or anything other than Allah during these two rakats of prayers. And all Islam said, Ana ya Rasulullah, I would do. In all Islam, you know, stood up, and he did his, started his two rakats of prayers, and with complete ikhlas and sincerity towards Allah. And finally, when he was done with the prayers, Jibreel came on the Holy Prophet, bringing this wahi and revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqra'uka salam. Allah says salam to you, and says that give one of the two camels to Ali. And Prophet said, أَنَا شَارَبْتُهُ. I put the condition not to think about anyone or anything, you know, anything other than Allah. Whereas Ali, when he was praying, he thought about which of the two camels he would take. And Jibreel said to the Prophet that Ali ibn Abi Talib was thinking which of the two camels he would take, so that he would take the better one, so that he can give away more of the meat of the camel to the more of the deserving people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that intention was also purely for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of himself. So basically, we find in the history that Prophet gives away both of the camels to Imam Ali al-Islam, and Imam Ali gives both of the camels fi sabilillah, in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not contradict. If you are thinking just like the incident when this person, this beggar showed up in the masjid, is that right? One of the most significant events of the entire history. One of the most significant because this verse of Quran was revealed that my teacher Ayatullah Diwali Amri Hafidhullah was saying that this verse of Holy Quran is mukhtas and exclusively for for Imam Ali al-Islam, and it is not even allowed to use this verse for and apply this verse on anyone other than Imam Ali al-Islam. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. So we learn in the light of the verse that only and only your wali is Allah and His Messenger, and those of the believers who give away the zakat, if they install the prayers and give away the zakat while they are doing the ruku. So there is nobody in the entire history who did that before Imam Ali al-Islam. There was one companion who did it, the history says, 20 times. And he begged his ghulam, his servant, to come and start begging from me, asking for help when I am doing the ruku in the masjid of the Prophet in front of the rest of the companions. He paid the money to his ghulam and servant 20 times, asked him 20 times to come and beg in front of me. Maybe there is some verse of Holy Quran arriving for me as well. But it did not arrive. So Imam Ali al-Islam pointed with his finger, and some of the history say the ring that he donated for this faqir person was the same ring of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi wa sallam. So this is the ikhlas, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the prayers, because this faqir was now, when he was about to leave, and there was no companion ready to help this poor person in the masjid of the Prophet, he gave that statement which is very crucial to remember in your minds. Before leaving, the miskeen person said, addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so now Imam Ali has to respond. Because the miskeen person addressed Allah by saying that, "Oh my Lord, be a witness that I am leaving your house and there is no person to help me in your house." Imam Ali al-Islam is the Khalifa of Allah. When things come to Allah, they always take it very seriously. They are the ones who defend the agenda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is about the ikhlas of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So it requires, the concept of ikhlas requires us to get rid of the sins in our life. And even if we end up doing a sin, we do the tawbah. Because this is also called zulm in Quran. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبْ. Quran says, whoever does not do the tawbah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. They are the zalim people. So not doing the tawbah will also classify us among the zalim people. So Islamic morality teaches us, if we do a sin, God forbid, we always do the tawbah after it, and that's fine. Prophet says, that person who finds in the book of deeds on the day of judgment, beneath every sin, it was written, he did the tawbah for this sin. This sin, he did the tawbah for this sin. This sin, he did the tawbah for this sin. Beneath every sin, it was written in his book of deeds on the day of judgment, that the guy has done tawbah for this sin. He's, this kind of person deserves to be congratulated. It's very good if we do the tawbah. We need to teach our youth that, first of all, it's the job of the parents to provide healthy alternatives for the youth so they don't end up in situations where they can do the sins. Isn't it right? And I'm talking about the marriage. We need to work hard that our youth are married in the right age so they don't end up doing the sins. When we talk about the Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she's our role model. Isn't it right? Al-Zahra sallallahu passed away in the age of 18. Isn't it right? By the age of 18, she died away from this world. And this is a role model for us to remember that we need to be very particular about this. If the son or daughter commits a sin, the hadith says, فَالْإِسْمُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If the father was able to marry and he did not marry and the child commits the sin is divided between the father and the child. This is a very serious thing. There's a responsibility for the parents, and there's a responsibility for the youth to remember regarding this. So this woman comes up to the Prophet and says,
Ya Rasulullah, I did a sin. Prophet says that Allah forgives if you do the tawbah. Prophet is rahmatul alameen, isn't that right?
So she says that, what can I do when the angels have already written my sin?
Obviously we have angels, minimum two of those, and some of the hadiths inform that on every moment there are 160 angels assigned on every moment, not just two. Is that right?
So Prophet said Allah is going to make the angels forget.
This is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is going to make the angels forget. Angels don't forget. Nothing, they are masoom.
But this is the rahmat of Allah. If we do the tawbah, Allah will make the angels forget.
Certain things are actually hidden from the angels. Because Imam Ali says in Dua Kumail, وَكُنْتَ أَنْتَ شَاهِدَ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ وَكُنْتَ وَشَاهِدَ لِمَا خَفِيَ عَنْهُمْ. Is that right? وَشَاهِدَ لِمَا خَفِيَ عَنْهُمْ وَبِلُطْفِكَ أَخْوَيْتَ. So you were a witness. Imam Ali is talking to Allah. You were a witness over
وَشَاهِدَ لِمَا خَفِيَ عَنْهُمْ, or what remained hidden from the angels. So there are certain sins of certain people which Allah even hides from the angels. Because certain people have done certain good deeds which are so much beloved in the eyes of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hides the sins of that kind of person even from the angels. They don't even end up discovering his sin.
وَبِلُطْفِكَ أَخْفَيْتَ, and you have hidden it out of your lutf. This is the arrangement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every woman has 70 angels putting hijab, 70 hijabats putting in front of every woman, so he doesn't get insulted in front of the community. The hadith tells us if a woman commits one sin, one of those 70 curtains are removed. He commits the second sin without doing the tawbah, the second curtain is now removed. He commits the 70th sin without doing the tawbah, the 70th curtain is now removed.
Now the angels put their wings in front of the mu'min so he doesn't get insulted in front of the community. How far Allah goes to protect our dignity and izzat in front of the people. But at least we need to do the tawbah
to make ourselves, to keep ourselves mukhlis and sincere from every kind of zulm.
So this woman says to the Prophet that, what should I do when the angels have already written the sin that I did? And Prophet said, Allah will make the angels forget. In other words. And she says, well, but the earth has already registered my sin. Isn't that right?
In Islam we learn the earth is a registered agent on behalf of Allah, registering our deeds.
Every action that we do is registered by the earth itself.
Isn't that right? يَوْمَ إِذِنْ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا.
Allah says, on the day when earth will inform about its news.
يَوْمَ إِذِنْ تُحَدِّثُ سُورَةُ الزِّلْزَالِ إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. And Prophet has said, talking about that verse, doing the tafsir of that verse of Quran, Prophet said,
earth is going to inform about every action that every man and woman has done on the face of it.
In other words, every action done by on the face of
earth, its shell will speak up on the day of judgment, inform in front of Allah about all the actions done by all the people over the face of earth.
يَوْمَ إِذِنْ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا.
So she said, what should I do when the earth has already registered my deeds?
Prophet said, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ. Prophet recited this ayat of Quran, so we learn in the light of the verse that Allah is going to come
on that day, earth will be converted into a different earth. And then she said, okay, what can I do when the heaven,
Sama, Asman,
the heaven has already witnessed what I did.
Prophet recited another verse of Holy Quran in front of her and said,
يَوْمَ نَقْلِ السَّمَاءَ كَتَيِّ السِّجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ.
So we learn in the light of this verse,
Allah is going to wrap up the heaven. So obviously, And look at the protections that Allah will provide to the mu'mineen if we do the tawbah. She said, finally, but what can I do when I feel so much ashamed in front of Allah Himself? I feel haya and sharm, shame. You know, shame is also very good. If you have shame towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this protects us from the harams. Isn't it right? So, and that's where the Prophet says, well, haya min Allah. Haya is from Allah. We need to protect the haya in ourselves and in our families and our children. And we find that if we have this haya remaining, we will be empowered to abstain from the harams and the zulm in our lives and get the taqarrub and closeness to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Just like Habib ibn Mulahir al-Asadi was so close to the Prophet. Isn't that right? Habib ibn Mulahir al-Asadi. How much close he was when his father, Hazrat Mulahir alayhi salam, was once visiting the Prophet, came for the ziyarat of the Prophet in Medina, and Prophet saw the situation that his son Habib, who was a young boy, he was walking behind Imam Hussein alayhi salam and picking up the soil from under the feet of Imam Hussein and pouring the soil, putting the soil over his head. Prophet liked it so much. This behavior, this is how the tarbiyat, he did the tarbiyat of his son Habib. Right from the beginning, to love Imam Hussein alayhi salam and love everything of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, picking up the soil under the feet of Hussein ibn Ali, putting over his head. Prophet went and Prophet took Habib into his, he hugged him and expressed his love towards Habib. So Habib ibn Mulahir is the beloved and mahbub of Rasulullah himself. And it is not a surprise that according to certain histories, we find Imam Hussein himself the only person for whom Imam Hussein writes the letter to invite, to join him in that way was only Habib ibn Mulahir. Min al-Husayn ibn Ali ila al-Rajul al-Faqih. From Hussein, son of Ali, to the man who is in depth knowledgeable about the religion. Rajul al-Faqih, Habib ibn Mulahir. And then Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in his letter, he writes that we are surrounded by the enemies. See, Imam Hussein Islam is surrounded by the enemies. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And you know my relationship with Rasulullah.
You know, what's the relationship of Imam Hussein Islam with Rasulullah?
How much close Imam Hussein is. Remember how much close Imam Hussein is, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes over the back of the Prophet in the sajda, and Prophet was about to raise his head. Allah sends Jibreel and the Prophet and says to the Prophet that don't raise your head until Hussein gets off your back himself. You know how close is Imam Hussein to Allah and the Prophet? So Prophet said, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih, 70 times, 70 times, until Imam Hussein gets off the back himself. You know how much close is Imam Hussein to the Prophet? Who can imagine? When on the occasion of Eid, Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam were riding, Prophet take them right over his shoulders and gave some of his hair, according to some histories. Prophet gave some of the hair in the hand of Imam Hassan and some of his hair into the hand of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But they don't have an animal to ride. People, the kids of the people of the occasion of Eid were riding camels and other animals to celebrate the occasion of Eid. Whereas Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein were so poor, they didn't have anything to ride. So Prophet instead made them ride over himself, over his shoulders. Isn't it right? And then he encounters somebody there, out there, and he says, what a nice ride! What a nice markab that these two people are riding! And Prophet replies back, how nice are the riders! How nice are Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, in other words. Look at the closeness that Hassan and Hussein enjoy in the eyes of the Prophet. So Imam Hussein says to Habib ibn Mawahir in that letter that وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ
قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ
اللَّهِ I'm surrounded by the enemies and you know my closeness, my relation to Rasulullah. If you can come to help us, come. In other words, and we find Habib ibn Mawahir was so happy. He was so rejoicing when he finds this letter of his Mahbub, his beloved Imam Hussein. He comes inside his house and his wife asks him, who's the letter? Who came at the door? And he said it was the Qasid. It was the main man from Imam Hussein. And she said, what did Imam Hussein say? He Habib narrates to his wife that Imam is saying, my Mawla is saying that we are surrounded. I am surrounded by the enemies, in other words. And you know our relation to Rasulullah. If you can come to help us, come. His wife said, then what are you thinking? And he replies back, I'm thinking about you. What is going to happen to you? That means, if I leave you alone, what is going to happen to you? And according to the narration, this woman, she throws her chadar on the face of Habib and says, you are thinking about me and not thinking about the son of Fatima al-Zahra. If you don't, in other words, if you don't go to support Imam Hussein, I will myself go and sacrifice my life for the son of Fatima al-Zahra. And Habib replies back, this is a family of the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. How can that happen? Then Habib doesn't go. Habib replies back, I was just testing you. Otherwise, how can that happen? My Mawla invites me and I don't go to join him. This is not going to happen. So Habib sends his servant to take the horse of Habib at such and such place in the outskirts of the city of Kufa and wait for him to arrive. And we find that Habib was heading towards that place and he got delayed a little bit. When he reaches that point where the servant was waiting with the horse, Habib heard the statement that the servant was talking to the horse and said, if my master comes, does not come, don't worry, I will ride over you and I will go myself to sacrifice my life for Imam Hussein. And Habib said, what a time has arrived that the slaves are ready to sacrifice their life. Habib said to the slave, I set you free. Then the slave replies back to Habib, this is not fairness, because as long as I was in your service, you kept me in your service. And now that you are leaving for Imam Hussein al Islam's service, you are leaving me aside. I am also going to go with you to sacrifice my life over Imam Hussein. So Habib brings his servant with him. And in Karbala, we find the situation was this. Imam Hussein was distributing the ra'yat, distributing the flags among his companions. One flag belongs to Muslim, Ibn Awsaja. This flag belongs to Zuhair. This flag belongs to Sa'id, whatever. But the various companions, the flags were being distributed. And one of the flags, Imam did not distribute to anybody. That was kept aside. And when somebody asked Imam Hussein, you did not distribute that flag. Imam replied, the one who deserves to get that flag is about to arrive. And they discovered the dust showing up from the direction of Kufa. And the companions went forward to do the istikhbar. The companions in the istikhbar welcoming Habib ibn Mawahir. And the news came into the Ahlul Haram inside the tents of the Imam where the ladies were there. And Hazrat Zainab sends Hazrat Fidda to go and find out who has arrived. Because up till now, Hazrat Zainab had been hearing this army, this battalion of Umar ibn Sa'd has arrived. Such and such army has joined Umar ibn Sa'd. But she never heard that any companion of Imam Hussein is arriving to help him. This time, Fidda returns back and she tells Hazrat Zainab that Habib ibn Mawahir, in other words, the old time companion of Imam, has arrived. Hazrat Zainab became so happy when she heard that statement. She says her salam. Go and say my salam to
Habib. The history says when Fiza alayhi salam comes to say convey the salam to Habib, Habib ibn Muzahir sat down. He sits down over the ground in Karbala and he starts to pick up the soil and putting the soil over his head. What a time has arrived that our ladies, you know, like Hazrat Zainab, she has been sending salam on people, on slaves and people like me. Allah Allah.
على لعنة الله على قوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب مقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين
Say, 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 say.